Let us pray.
Lord God, we pray you would move among us, those of us here, those at home, that your Spirit expand that distance. Unite us as one as we listen to your word. Lord, open us up to your word. We ask it in Christ's name.
Amen.
I had to take off my mask because there's limited space behind my ears. And when I look down, my glasses fall off.
The way it is, it's got all of it.
I have larger ears on order.
Okay.
Good. All right.
You're really part of my hearing.
You may recall early in the pandemic, Father Bill, when he was preaching, told us that there were four ways that we could come out of this pandemic. We could be a drunk, a chunk, a hunk, or a monk. Several months ago, I stepped on the scales in the bathroom. And I realized, I was on the express train to Chunkville. I weighed more than I have ever weighed in my entire life. And, I guess I was reasoning to myself that my clothes had been shrinking during the pandemic. What was I thinking? But I was definitely set to emerge as a chunk. Now, granted, before the pandemic began, I was almost there anyway. I was on that lighter side of chunk. But the problem was that it was all the time that you had on your hands when you're quarantined and there's nowhere to go. You're not working, and everything just shut down. So what was I going to do with this time? Sure, I could have done something constructive, but that's not my way. I decided, I'm sure you're talking, I decided that I would take up baking. Baking wasn't really the problem, eating it was. And I baked everything conceivable. I mean, I even baked some whole wheat hamburger buns. Belinda made fun of me, but she ate them. But it was probably the things like cinnamon rolls and banana bread and cheese biscuits that really helped me pack on the pounds. Because the problem is, I love bread. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, how lucky that's the snap of life. I love it. But right now, Belinda and I are on a low-carb diet. You're not supposed to say dieting. You're supposed to say eating plan. We're on a low-carb eating plan in an attempt to de-chunkify me. And it's a fabulous diet. You can eat a lot. You can. It's the right thing. It's high protein, and so you get to eat a lot of meat. The notable exception for me is bread's not one of those things that you can eat. Now, it's true they do make low-carb breads. But if you ever eat any, you will agree it tastes a lot like cardboard, or thinly sliced styrofoam. You don't jump out of bed in the morning and say, "Man, I got to get me some of that bread." You don't. I love bread, but I tell you, I would not cross an 8-mile lake to get bread. Like the people in the gospel lesson did today. They had been with Jesus on the other side of the lake where he had fed the 5,000, everyone ate because they were full, they ate fish, they ate bread, and then when they realized Jesus was gone, they crossed the lake to go get it. Now I might cross an 8-mile lake for Krispy Kreme donuts, but not for bread. I love it. when Jesus fed those people in the wilderness with the bread and the fish, and they ate their fill, in their minds, they had already made the link to their ancestors in the wilderness, being fed manna and quail. And it's no accident that that's the Old Testament lesson. It's no accident that that's Psalm 58 today. That's what it's about. And just like their ancestors in the wilderness, whatever God gave them, it was never enough. It was never enough. I love the way they whine all through Exodus and Deuteronomy. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Now you know why there were no fat people in the Exodus movie, the Ten Commandments. They were obviously on a low-carb diet, sitting by pots of meat. God gave them manna, which of course wasn't enough, so he sent quail into the camp so they would have meat, but they were never, ever satisfied. And you would think that having seen all of the signs and wonders that God had done for them as he brought them out of Egypt, they would be fine. They would have trust in God that he was going to take care of them, but that was a different group of people, not them. I'm not sure there's ever been a group of people who were moved by the signs and wonders to become people of faith. The people across the lake to follow Jesus that day did not come because of the signs that they had seen Jesus perform. Jesus makes that clear. He said, "Very truly I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." And he makes it clear that they're seeking bread, but he wants to let them know they are seeking the wrong kind of bread. They don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, when we read or hear these stories of the Israelites grumbling, when we hear the stories of the clueless people following Jesus, they don't understand the signs. They can't grasp the deeper truths of what he's trying to say. When we read or hear those stories, we get a little judgmental. I know I do. I always refer to them as those whiners in the wilderness, without taking into account my own whining. But when we read that, we think from our viewpoint of being enlightened disciples, we understand they're striving for the wrong bread. They're morons. How judgmental. But as Westerners, as Americans even, are we really that different from those people? The people of Israel in the desert, the people across the lake following Jesus, we're all hungry. Everyone is hungry. Everyone's seeking bread, but most people are seeking the wrong bread. We're all hungry and striving for something. For politicians, could be power. For those who have money, they may be looking for the next high-yield investment. For the hedonistic, they're in search of all sorts of pleasure. And workers. Workers are looking for that comfortable retirement. They're looking for better working conditions. Now, when I was reading this the last couple of weeks, it reminded me of a game. Keep it at this moment. This is not an ad. My Hasbro. The game of what?
Did you ever play that?
Play that game?
This is a newer, updated version in that some of the careers that they added to it are interesting, like food flavor additive person. There are some of the careers have to do with things that didn't exist when we were younger. You could be an IT person in the game now. And in the careers, you move through life, and it's really nice. They give you this little card. And then you put yourself in your little car. There are two colors, blue and pink. I'm male, so I'm blue. And, they're probably going to have to update the game. Huh? 37 different colors. But you make choices while you're playing this game. Am I going to get married? You know, so if you're married, there's the pink one. We're driving around in our car through the game, and you can choose your career. You can choose a regular career, like car mechanic. Since the salary is $50,000 a year. And then they have college careers. One of them is an airline pilot. Salary $100,000. Sounds much more appealing. But you may have. We're going to have kids. Yeah, there are four other places in the car here for kids. So, the really strange thing about the game is, and you drive along the board game, and there are pitfalls, and good things can happen to you, bad things can happen to you. But the goal is to reach retirement. That's the lower left-hand side of the board. You drive out into retirement. But just because you're the first to cross into retirement does not mean you've won the game. It doesn't. It's the person who ends up with the most money wins the game. If you make it into the retirement, and you've settled all your debts, and you have the most money, you're the winner, right? That's got to be a uniquely American game. That's us. That's the way life really goes. Now, in America, and at times I think we're all guilty of this, we strive after the wrong kind of bread. We're after the bread of the world, not the bread that Jesus is offering. Jesus is offering something extremely different. Strive for that true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then Jesus makes a bold declaration at the end of this reading today. I am the bread of life. Jesus himself is the bread of life. He is what we are to be striving for. He's the true bread come down from heaven. He's the true bread that we consume in the Eucharist. And he offers himself for the life of the world. And I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he is identifying himself with the God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, the great I am, Yahweh. I am that I am. I thought it was cool that God's a verb. I am. And Jesus is saying, I am. I am the bread of life. And this is offered to you freely. You have a choice between that and the bread that is not satisfying. Now, in reading this week, I was reminded of something in my childhood. I'm sure you all saw this too. There was a sign that hung in the school cafeteria. And it was a true statement. You are what you eat. You are what you eat. It's 100% true in our physical life, and it's 100% true in our spiritual life. If we consume the bread of life, Christ, His teaching, and His kingdom, we will become more and more like Christ. If we consume the bread of the world, we will become people of this world. Now the bread of life endures to eternal life. The bread of the world does not endure at all. Now, I think the game of life would be much more realistic if the finish line was not retirement. It would be more realistic if the finish line was death. I mean, really, how can you have a game of life if there's no death? Yeah, not meaning to be morbid or to scare children, but they need to know it's there. If the game of life ended with death, one thing for sure, it would end in a tie. Everybody would tie. Because at death, you don't have anything. All of that stuff is gone. All the stuff you accumulated is for naught. Stand by. Nothing's coming to mind. As I had to bring the big clunky Bible today because I left my other one in Belinda's car. From Luke, chapter 12. Beginning at verse 13. We'll skip a bit. Watch out, said Jesus. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. And he called them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Make life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be. For whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. We are reminded to be rich toward God. We're invited. If you were hungry for the bread of the world, you come to the end, game over. If you're enduring and striving for the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ Himself, it endures, and the game goes on. You are what you eat. It's not just important at the end of the game. It'll make a profound difference in how you play the game. How you live your life. If you hunger for the bread of life and you consume the things of Christ and His kingdom, you will begin to notice the hunger of the other participants in the game. Some of them hunger for justice. Some of them hunger for real physical food.
people hunger for all kinds of things. And a lot of them are hungry for the world. But you have a message to share with us. Everybody's hungry. You know where the food is. You know who the food is. Now John tells us this about the people who were there with Jesus that day. They said to him, "Sir, always give us this bread." And my prayer is that that will be our prayer. Lord, always give us.